Is there anybody here who was not with us yesterday, midday? Okay. Yesterday, midday, we began the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Is there anybody here that doesn't know who is Prahlad Maharaj? They need a little background. Everyone knows. Very good. I've been in audiences where the people that don't know, so I have to have a starting point. Maybe one of the best known of the aside from Krishna's pastimes, the 10th canto Bhagavatam, aside from that, Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj are very well known, very much appreciated, often repeated. We heard on Sunday, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear these pastimes, Prahlad and Dhruva, 100 times, again and again. And there's good reason. Specifically with Prahlad. Well, with Dhruva, he's teaching how to go from mixed, materially motivated approach to Vishnu to pure. And Prahlad is teaching pure. There's a section in chapter 10 where Prahlad says to Lord Nrisimhadev, because of this deeply seated lust, passion, and ignorance that's in the core of the heart of all living entities in this world, you have sent me here to show the way of devotional service. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, he's a Nitya Siddha. Or, he's a Vaikuntha Vasi. He's a resident of Vaikuntha, descending under the Lord's order to do so, to show and teach by his Achar and his Prachar, the way of pure devotional service. Shuddha Bhakti. And a second thing that Prabhupada says that's very important and appears again and again is there's no material qualification to achieve that. We discussed this yesterday. There's no material disqualification that says you can't achieve it. So he's teaching Shuddha Bhakti, and he's taking the position of one who is impure, fallen, born in a demoniac family, and this and that and the other, disqualification. Doesn't compromise at all his teachings of pure devotion and his living a life of pure devotion. So, chapter 5, starts with Prahlad is born after chapter 4, where Hiranyakashipu does his austerities. Kayadu is in the care of Narada, hearing transcendental knowledge, both of them, for a long time, the whole duration of time that Hiranyakashipu was doing his severe austerity, because Kayadu had this benediction from Narada that her son would not be born, or her child would not be born until her husband returned. When he returned, chapter 5 begins, Narada was born, it's time for school. He's 5 years old. He goes to school. And his father sits him on his lap, affectionately, at least for a while, and wants to hear from Prahlad, what's the best thing you've learned? So this is the one verse that we discussed, along with all that background. The Sadhumanye Sura, Varya Dehinam Sada Samudvigna Diyam Asat Grahat Hitvat Vapatam Grihamanda Kupam Vanam Gato Yad Dharim Ashrayeta. Those who have a body and who identify with it in terms of this is me, and then in turn mine is what comes from me, my body, my work, the fruits of my work, and the things that the fruits of my work can purchase for me, my husband or wife, my children, my family, my home. Asat grahat, attached to materialistic consciousness or materialistic way of life. Samudvigna diyam. One becomes, one's dhi, one's intelligence becomes filled with anxiety. Samudvigna, the opposite of Vaikuntha. It's Kunta. Samudvigna, filled with anxiety. We discussed intelligence being filled with anxiety means mind is filled with, means the senses are filled with anxiety. It works both ways. Unsatisfied senses disturb the mind, the intelligence becomes bewildered. It works both directions. One influences the other and vice versa. When you get the body of a dog, you do things that dogs do when you have the body of a dog. You bark, you wag your tail, and chew on bones. You do what dog things do, what dogs do. The body affects consciousness, the mind. Someone comes to the door and you woof woof. You protect your territory. That's what dogs do. So, you get the body of a king and you behave. So one thing, the gross affects the subtle and subtle affects the gross. That's all I'm saying here. So samudvigna diyam, it comes up later. That is when intelligence is muyanti, that's another term that's used, or pashu buddhi. One's intelligence is bewildered, or one's intelligence is like an animal. That's the same, it's different ways of describing attachment to the temporary. Identifying with it, trying to be the enjoyer of it, that becomes your life. And when that happens, spirit disappears. The self disappears, the supreme disappears, bhakti disappears, everything that's of a spiritual nature in this world disappears. You just can't see it. Although it's there. And Grihamanda Kupam, one's Griha becomes like a dark well. A dark well where there's no water, only misery. Hitvatma Patam Grihamanda Kupam. The advice then is Vanam Gato Yad Hadim Ashriyata. Go to the forest, particularly Vrindavan, and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's the translation. We'll skip it. And so now we're in Vrindavan. We listened to what Prahlad said, and at least we're thinking about Hari in Vrindavan, Lord Radha Shyama Sundar. Now, before he went to the forest, Hiranyakashipu performed the funeral for his brother, Hiranyaksha, He spoke transcendental knowledge. He knew Samkhya philosophy, but he was a demon. And in his mood as a demon, he took a vow. Lord Vishnu has killed my brother. I take a vow. He's my avowed enemy. I will kill Vishnu. So when he heard his son say, Hadim Ashrayeta, what? Hiranyakashipu became very angry and decided that this small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a devotee. Immediately, enemy. And so now a boy in the school is an enemy. So where is this difficulty or danger come from? And so is the instruction is to the Shanda and Amarka, make sure this doesn't go any further. So they took Prahlad and they tried instructing him in the way that they knew how to instruct in materialistic consciousness. But Prahlad had no interest. And they tried this way, that way, the other way. He had no interest. He had no interest. He had no interest. And he would speak about Vishnu. And they became very concerned. They asked, how have you learned these instructions in devotional service? How has your intelligence been spoiled and polluted and contaminated? Who's that enemy? They spoke in those terms. And a theme, 4 or 5 times in this 6 chapters, the theme of friend and enemy comes again and again. When something like that is repeated, it means we're supposed to understand this is important. And it is. And friend and enemy is a byproduct of this Dehinam and Asatgrahat. Duality is a product of misidentification with the body and the eye and mind principle on the material platform. It's just domino effect or default. It's just part of the package. If you think in terms of the self as something you're not in terms of the temporary body, and you try to become the enjoyer of the temporary, friend and enemy is. So a friend, by material definition, is somebody who helps me achieve what's important to me. And what's important to me is sense gratification, putting it in Prabhupada's terminology, meeting my needs, getting what I want, fulfilling my desires. Someone is one who helps me. A friend is someone who helps me. An enemy, they get in the way. They take something that's important to me away. Or they make an obstacle to get the thing that's important to me, so that's an enemy. Now there's degrees, but that's the consciousness. It's, we say, groupism. We all know that one. Friend-enemy. As Prabhupada would say, these things are going on. So it's a theme, and let's hear what Prahlad says on this topic. Just 4 or 5 verses for this evening. Let me offer, so their question is, how did this contamination come upon you? Who's the enemy? Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by diluting the intelligence of men. So there's this word D or intelligence again. And intelligence becomes diluted into friend and enemy consciousness. Now that's the intelligence. Intelligence is a function of discernment or discrimination. You can tell one thing from another thing. Right? That's an IQ test. That you have the capacity to determine one thing from another thing. There's this group of four, which is in the group of three, and then what's the one that's not in the group of three? Generally, that's IQ tests. And they're seeing, what's your power of discrimination? What's one thing from another thing? So when intelligence is seeing in terms of friend and enemy, that's the external energy has thereby influenced intelligence. And the external energy is under the control of whom? Krishna, Supersoul. Maya Jakshena Prakriti. Suyate Sacharacharam. So Supersoul, we're going to hear, he's going to say it explicitly. But Supersoul gives the intelligence to a person who is in under the influence of Maya to think in terms of friend and enemy. And they think in terms of friend and enemy. You can't convince them otherwise because that's how they think. That's the intelligence they're provided by Supersoul. And why does Supersoul provide that intelligence? Because they're asat-grahat people. They're absorbed in the temporary, trying to be the enjoyer of it. And so some people help me and some people interfere. Friend and enemy. Intelligence from Supersoul. Indeed, I'm now actually experiencing this, although I previously heard it from, he doesn't give Narada's name, but it's from Narada. That's the authoritative source, not from his teachers. Now, what's the best thing that you've learned? And how does your intelligence become polluted? Well, authoritative sources have straightened me out. You're the one that has the polluted consciousness. Prabhupada's purport discusses a number of things. This important, well-known verse, Vidyavanaya Sampani, Brahmani Gavi Hastani, Shunachaiva Sapaki Chapandita Samadarshana, Bhagavad Gita. The learned Pandita is a Samadarshana person. They see equally. Now, looking at what he's seeing, there's certainly differences. There's a dog, and over there there's a dog eater. And over there there's an elephant, and over there there's a cow, and over there there's a human. Now, there's obviously differences of bodily form. And there's probably differences of things they eat and noises they make and those kinds of things. There's psychophysical makeup is quite different. So that doesn't mean that a learned sage can't see the psychophysical differences, but they can see the soul within. That's the sama part, sama darshana. The learned person can see the soul, and those that have their intelligence covered can't. And therefore they see friends and enemies. Not only soul, Prabhupada goes on, living entities, parts and parcels of Krishna, are eternally Krishna's servant. Quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every living entity being part of the Supreme Lord is meant to serve the Lord, just as every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. They're not just their spirit soul, but they're eternally same, sama, in terms of their position of being a servant of the Supreme. And because someone over there is the servant of the Supreme, I, by convention, but also by humility, natural humility, consider them as Prabhu. A devotee out of natural humility addresses every other living entity. Not just, you know, Bhakta so-and-so, but every living entity. Now this is an advanced position of consciousness and conduct. Certainly we can see distinctions. The dog eater is not in an elevated position, but the spirit soul is. The spirit soul is different than the covering. A devotee always wants to learn from others, and ultimately we learn from the transparent medium in disciplic succession, the spiritual master. And that's where our real spiritual training and education begins. We require a qualified person to teach us. And that qualified person teaches us that above all is Krishna. He's the Supreme Master, and all of us are not only meant for service to Krishna, we eternally are servants of Krishna. That's who we are. That's what the soul is. And therefore, samadarshanaha, we're on the same platform, not homogeneously alike one another. We're individuals, but there's a likeness in terms of our service to the Supreme. So this is one of four or five places where the duality influence is to be gone beyond. To enter into pure bhakti, we have to go beyond the duality conception, friend and enemy. That's in the realm of duality. And the devotee doesn't see that way. How is it possible that servant can become equal to the master? Next. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pandita and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, so this is the alternative, this is the spiritual conception, gifted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative. Every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Now, obviously, we're different from one another, not only in terms of embodiment, but even on the platform of the soul, each soul is individual. Christmas time is coming. And all over the place they have Christmas decorations. Unfortunately, Christmas decorations have snowflakes that are identical with one another because that makes it cheaper to make them. But when God makes them, no snowflake is like another snowflake. Did you know that? And all souls are different from one another in terms, not just in terms of their bodily covering, but in terms of the personal relationship with Krishna, it's unique and different. Unlimitedly. No two twins. Soul twinned or soul mate or something like that. We're all individual. But on the spiritual platform, we're equal or not different from one another. In the sense, I purposefully underlined it, in the sense that we're all servants of the Supreme. And in that sense, we're equal to one another or not different than one another. Variegatedness exists unlimitedly in the spiritual world. Absolute variegatedness. Absolute personality. Again, this friend and enemy idea. By the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master, one can go beyond that misconception and get the proper intelligence, buddhi, not the other kind, samudvigna dhyam. And because of that, certainly Prabhupada takes advantage of this opportunity to say, if you don't see people as friend and enemies, but devotees of Krishna who may have forgotten, then it's very natural to remind people of Krishna who they have forgotten. It's very natural. It's one of the things that, some of us, when we became Hare Krishna devotee brahmacharis, we were engaged in full-time book distribution. And one of the things that was difficult was feeling comfortable doing full-time book distribution. Because it's not something you wake up in the morning thinking, oh, I think I'd like to go find somebody who doesn't want to remember Krishna and remind them of Krishna and have them give a donation and take a book. Yeah, that'd be a lovely thing to do. It's something that's, especially shy people, it's a big obstacle. So one of the spiritual training principles is really simple. A or B, when you return to the spiritual world, it's just you and Krishna. Or B, when you return to the spiritual world, Krishna is surrounded by unlimited numbers of pure living entities who are at his lotus feet and engaged in loving service to him, and you get the opportunity to participate with them. So if B is the reality where we're aiming for, how do we practice that here? In real terms, you engage people who have forgotten Krishna to remember Krishna. It's natural. It's complete. And the shyness and the reservation and whatever, all those other things. We have this phrase, causeless unwillingness. You know, the mind just doesn't want to do that. There's no sense gratification over there. People aren't, you know, always really nice. They sometimes look at you like, you know, get out of here. Or sometimes they say it. Sometimes they say something worse. And, you know, we want encouragement, you know, like discouragement. Anyway, because it's natural, then we continue with something that's natural because it's natural. Because we're all servants of the same Supreme Lord, it's natural, regardless of one's culture, upbringing, this and that, to remind people of Krishna. Now you have to do it carefully and thoughtfully and appropriate to the circumstance and the person. But it's a natural exchange. Preaching Krishna consciousness is natural. Similar idea, Prabhupada touches on this phrase, whoops. There we go. Ekatvam anupashyata. Anyone recognize that from Ishopanishad? It's a description of one who has awakened their Krishna consciousness. They, ekatvam. It's explained in the purport below. Ekatvam vision, or seeing with oneness, is similar to the same painting as you saw before. Krishna is situated in the heart of everyone. And everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Ekatvam. That kind of oneness. Now, here's an important understanding. If we see friend or enemy, maybe it's even simpler. If you have envy, living entities often have envy. Somebody has something that I wish I had, and I don't have it, and they have it, so I'm envious of that person. What's behind that person? Because where did that person get the thing that they have that you don't have that you're envious of? Krishna. Actually, it's envy of Krishna. And so this friend and enemy boils down to an enmity towards the personality of Godhead. Raga dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. All living entities take birth in this material world, overcome by these two dualities, raga and dvesha, desire and hate. He who has everything and is everything and the source of everything and everyone is worshiping, I want to be in that position. But there's already somebody in that position. So I have to depose them. I have to pull the king off his throne so I can sit on the throne. Dvesha. Friend and enemy. Behind it all is the personality of Godhead. So if one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, the verse is saying pashu, buddhi, intelligence of an animal. And conversely, if we understand that everyone is Krishna's servant, how can you think this other way, friend-enemy way? In the spiritual world, they don't think that way. To enter into that Vaikuntha consciousness, then for the service of the Lord, there's a friendly relation. There's really nice sections. I'm going to cover the rest of its verses, so I'm distracted by really nice explanations of all of this. When Sudama the florist, there's Sudama Brahman, there's Krishna's cowherd boyfriend named Sudama, and there's Sudama the florist. When Krishna enters Mathura, one of the persons who he visits is the home of Sudama. And there's a long description about his life before he met Krishna. Well, quickly. Florists are looking for the source of good flowers. And he heard. They have really nice flowers in Vrindavan. And Mathura is not so far from Vrindavan. So from time to time, he'll go to Vrindavan and look for flowers so he can put in his florist business. And one day when he was finding flowers in Vrindavan, he saw Krishna. And he was stunned. Because he was soft-hearted, and he heard about Krishna, but now he saw Krishna. And from that moment, his heart completely melted and he became Krishna's devotee. So he was contemplating, when will I get the opportunity to use my flowers directly in serving Krishna, make Krishna a garland? So Krishna came to his home to receive that garland. And when he came to his home, he had a super special garland for him. Because he heard he had come to Mathura and he was just hoping he would come to his home. So Krishna came. And Krishna said, you please me very much by your devotion. You can ask for any benediction. Prahlad Maharaj was offered the same benediction by Hiranyakashipu, but by Lord Srinadev. His response was a little different. Here's what Sudama said. Please give me always the opportunity to remain in your service. Please give me the association of your devotees. Always. And please give me a friendly disposition towards all living entities. Because you can start with one, and the one includes the other two. But he names the other two. Because all living entities, that's part of devotion to Krishna. Can you have devotion to Krishna and ignore other living entities? It's incomplete. I love my family and other families I don't care so much about. I mean, it's natural you have affection for your family. And spiritually speaking, it's natural you have affection for all living entities. That's the more complete stage. And that more complete stage makes its way manifest in the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Doesn't it make sense? If you're going to come to this world, if you're Krishna, coming to deliver the means for perfection for this age, it includes not just perfecting the people off in the forest or in a cave or, you know, in isolation, but all living entities. Some means to deliver all living entities. And people, they can say no, but at least give them the opportunity to make their lives auspicious. I mean, if you want to be Lord Chaitanya, you got to do that. Mahavananyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Liberally. I'm not qualified. That's okay. Take it anyway. Krishna Prema. One should praise another service to the Lord. One should not be proud of his own service. There may be competition in Vaikuntha, but it's not one against the other. It's how to please Lord Narayana more. How to please Lord Narayana more. That kind of competition. How to increase book distribution. And somebody over there is increasing book distribution. Not, oh, they beat me, so let me beat them. But I'm inspired. They're so enthused to increase book distribution. Prabhupada played with this. This is Texas, so you probably know. Tamal Krishnamurti was very competitive. And he would tempt him or tease him or push him, saying, oh, so-and-so Maharaj, he's distributing more books last month than you. And smile. Now, transcendental competition is not to beat the other person, but to please the spiritual master, please Lord Chaitanya. It's nice. And in that situation, there's no enmity. Another Bhagavad Gita reference. Who knows the verse? 15:15. Sarva Shachaham. Can you say it loud enough for everyone here from the very beginning? Slow and loud. Very good. So the beginning part is Sarvasya Cha Aham Hridi Sannivishto. Krishna is situated in the heart of every living entity. Now, in this house, there's a number of human beings. But I see a few plants. There's probably a few little crawling critters here and there somewhere. Probably some other microbial germs and other kinds of things. So there's lots of living entities in this room. And the super soul is in the heart of everyone. Same super soul. Different forms, but same super soul. Since he's situated in everyone's heart, according to the attitude of the servant, he gives intelligence. Already mentioned, now it's saying it again. There's one kind of intelligence, the non-devotee intelligence. Challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord. Where do they get that intelligence? From the Supreme Lord. And therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service. And then the same Supreme Lord, situated in the heart, sees a devotee who very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord, and then intelligence comes in a different way. So that's what Prahlad is saying. You'll see in a moment. Everyone, even Hiranyakashipu, even Donald Trump. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend. And everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. So this is the verse where he's saying the Sanskrit phrase sva pare, it's done sometimes in reverse order, pare sva or para sva. Sva means oneself and para means others. So friend and enemy, Prabhupada has translated it as. Person who always think in terms of enemy and friend, sva pare, are atma abodhi. There's this word D again. Bodhi and abodhi. They don't have the intelligence to atma, to see this supreme soul. He's in everyone and they can't see. He's hidden. But he's revealed to the devotee because they're given the intelligence to see him. They're given the eyes to see him, not just theoretically. Not to speak of them, even persons such as Brahma are fully conversant in the Vedic literature. Sometimes there's this word muyanti. Muyanti. Remember hearing that word in the first canto? Muyanti yat surayaha. Tejo varimadam yata vinimayo. So, muyanti, even the absolute truth is so elevated and entirely in the spiritual position that even sometimes the devas, even sometimes Lord Brahma becomes muyanti, bewildered. He sometimes becomes bewildered, stealing the calves and cowherd boys and all of that. He sometimes becomes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. So that's you fellows, you see in terms of friend and enemy because Super Soul is giving you that friend and enemy intelligence or friend and enemy covered consciousness. That same Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this situation has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. You want to know where I get this from? Super Soul. Same place you get your intelligence where you see friend and enemy. That's where I get it from. My dear teachers, you wrongly think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy, but because he is favorable towards me, I understand that he is the friend of everyone. You may think that I've taken the side of your enemy, but factually he has bestowed a great favor upon me. We're almost done. So he makes, now he explains in terms of a metaphor. There's a magnet and there's some iron filings. And as iron filings are attracted to a magnet naturally, so also I have no independence, my intelligence, my consciousness, everything is attracted. He's the all-attractive, and I have become attracted. Now he's saying my consciousness having been changed by his will. He's not saying Narada's name. Narada is the agent of the Supreme Lord in his life. And that agent, Narada, transformed his consciousness. So my consciousness having been changed by his will, manifest in the form of Narada Muni, now my everything is attracted to Lord Vishnu. So in other words, I'm a spontaneous bhakta. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted toward Krishna is natural. But then there's the Hiranyakashipu people. And the Hiranyakashipu people, they're attracted to something else. Materialistic life. spontaneously. Yet in the spiritual world, Krishna is Krishna who is all attractive to everybody and everything. Prabhupada's explanation, the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan is the flowers and the fruits in the gardens are attracted. The waves of the river Jamuna are attracted. And the land, sky, trees, plants, animals, and all the living beings are attracted by the all-attractive. But that attraction becomes blocked by this satgrahat, our affinity for being the enjoyer of the temporary. Boo-hoo. Very sad. Instead, attracted to materialistic life. Just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. Rani Kashipu was in that category. So he needed some purification. Prahlad was extending it by his pure devotion and pure consciousness. Ultimate purification, that's Krishna's lotus feet. Prahlad knows that. His teachers don't know that. And he's not just hinting at that situation. You have your consciousness, I have my consciousness. I'm in this spontaneous devotion position. What can I do? Spontaneous devotion. The bhakti process purifies the living entity of all unnatural attractions. So that, this is the last, Everyone in this material world is contaminated by material desire unless one is freed from all material desire. One cannot be attracted by Krishna. Or will be less attracted. We're mixed. Attraction for Krishna, attraction for Maya, attraction for Krishna, so even our attraction for Krishna is colored, diminished, dimmed, like looking at the sun through clouds. You know there's a sun there because it's daylight, but you can't see the sun properly because of the clouds and depends on how thick the clouds are. To the degree that we're attracted to, contemplating even, being the enjoyer of objects of the senses to that degree, will not understand Krishna. Our devotion will be less than devotion. It'll be somewhat mixed, depending. And that changes as the day goes on, and day by day, unsteady bhakti. The Prahlad is teaching unmixed. He's really good. And his audience is teachers. He's a 5-year-old boy and he's speaking to the sons of the chief priest of the demons. And they're really, you know, learned in Asura Bhav. They know the whole program. And he's being compassionate upon them. Okay. What's going on here? Something happened. Yeah. So that ends the section. What happens next is they get a stick. Our good instruction isn't doing any good. We're going to whack you. We'll teach you lessons that way. You're really stubborn and obstinate, and you'll only understand this way. So they threatened him. He's not afraid. So then the chapter goes on. It's not over yet. It goes on, and they try in various ways to remove bhakti from his life and place materialistic consciousness in his life instead. So the messages, summary, those messages of what Prahlad said to Shanda and Amarika, they're just expanding the more sutra-like initial teaching that he gave to his father. There's two things that are parts of bhakti. Take shelter of the Supreme, Hari Ashrayeta. To actually do that, you have to let go of the temporary, or your affinity for the temporary, affinity for being a joyer of the temporary. You don't have to give things up. That's another artificial and incomplete. Phalgu Vairagya, in Rupa Goswami's language. Hari Sambandha Vastuna. It's Hari Sambandha Vastuna. Vastuna means stuff, like objects and things, pots and plates. And you give it up. Mumukshubi Prityago. Mumukshubi Parityaga. You give things up that are in relation to a wreath. They're not yours to give up. It's artificial. Phalgu Vairagya Katyate. So the message of Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam and Prahlad Maharaj is not give things up. It's see things as they actually are. See things as the property of someone else, Krishna. And therefore, looking around, you know, there's kitchen with all kinds of cutlery and stove and refrigerator and oven and this and that. Use all that in Krishna's service. Don't throw it away. Don't try to be the enjoyer of it. Huh? I like my kitchen. Use it. Okay, great. Use it in Krishna's service. Use everything in Krishna's service. And in that way, that's protection. And in that way, also, one can then experience and see the personality of Godhead within your family members, within the guests in the home, within the people in the street, within the community at large. And you can see, you can experience Krishna through Krishna bhakti. It starts in the home, starts in your heart, starts in the everyday little things that you do. Starts in your bead bag. How you engage in the holy name, chanting the holy name. It's engaged, it begins in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, because that's a teaching that's coming up next. Coming attractions is, Prahlad is then later asked by his father, you've been hearing nicely again, what's the best thing? And he says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, that's the best thing. Devotional service is definitely the best thing. So that's how the Krishna consciousness is awakened, but Krishna consciousness means seeing all things in relation to Krishna, matter, and living entities in relation to Krishna, meant for Krishna's service. Then that becomes your life. Instead of a life of indulgence in the senses and sense objects. Dark. It leads down. And this message of Prahlad leads to Vaikuntha. So we have to heed what his teachings are very carefully. Any discussion? Yeah. You relate it to?
Material desire.
Material, yes. Yes.
So, it is easy to say that, we relate everything to Krishna, but many times I forget about Krishna.
Of course. So, our bhakti is unsteady. Anishchita bhakti, there's a term for it. Sometimes and sometimes. We're not steady. And what to do? Become steady. Practice without offense, or striving to become freed from offense. Abhyasa. Every day. This is Yoga Sutras. Every day, prolonged period of time, with faith that's going to take you to the good place. Shuddha Bhakti. However long it takes, every day, prolonged, with faith. That's abhyasa, or sadhana. That's the medicine, that's the remedy of the disease of material existence, affinity for matter. Like an addiction. Somebody's addicted. What do? They just follow their addiction. That's what they do. Till, they suffer too much and they don't want to suffer anymore. They try to get free from that addiction. So that's what we're in this rehab program. And there has to be, for addiction programs to work, there has to be, they have found, there has to be faith in God. Otherwise it doesn't work. All the group things and doesn't work. It helps. All the other things help. But without faith in God, it doesn't work. It doesn't sustain. They get, better, and then there's a relapse. Like us. It's not something to be ashamed of, that, we have material desire. We have material desire. Our body is a flag saying, I have material desire. Flapping in the wind. Prabhupada spoke like that. Like the flag says, this is the king of such and such, whatever's on the flag. So this says, I have material desire. Body. It's a flag, flapping. Now, what am I going to do about that? Throw my hands up in the air, say, what to do? I guess I've just got to live with my material. So we go towards what Prahlad is offering, and by the means that Prahlad is offering, making our effort and seeking mercy. And keep doing that. And purification will come. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the next question. The question I have is, you explained a lot of factors that makes a person to become a devotee or non-devotee. Actually, to become a devotee, there has to be a lot of factors that need to be favorable or aligned or something.
I didn't say that. You're saying that.
Like the Niyamas in Gula, one suppose somebody is attached to this.
Yes. If you have anchors and you're rowing a boat, you're not going to get far. You have to pull the anchor. It's not a big factor. I mean, it's not multiple factors. We can have multiple anchors. Attachments to varieties of the temporary illusory energy. But the principle is not many factors. It's attachment to the temporary. No. Why? That's okay. Jaghai and Madhai weren't ready. Lord Nityananda was ready. Yes. Yes. Prabhupada came. Look what Prabhupada came in the middle of. Were they ready? They were licentious personalities. Living like animals. They went right in the middle of it. Picked them up. Cleaned them up. Right? An agent of mercy can supersede the negative influences, or exactly the same point. There's no material qualification needed. It's the right time idea. Right time is now.
So if you pray for someone to have that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, will you show them?
Yes. Prayer works. It's not cute. That doesn't do anything. It's more than cute. It's real. It's very powerful. It's natural. Someone is dear to Krishna. That person who is dear to Krishna. So the goal is you become dear to Krishna. And then whoever you pray for, immediately they're going to get benefit because you're dear to Krishna. You're praying for them. Benefit will go to them. That's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to his brother-in-law. Because you said these words, one day you'll receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and then you'll understand. Because you said those words, he gave me his mercy. Now I can understand. I'm indebted to you because you gave your well wishes to me. Now he said it in a kind of scolding manner, but his well wishes were behind those scolding words. Yeah, there's other things you can do. You can chant. And that's going to benefit the people, you know, the living entities, not just people, that hear the sound vibration. It creates auspiciousness. Where there's inauspiciousness, it creates auspiciousness. Prabhupada's words. You know, yes, it appears that nothing is happening and everything is happening. And when it appears that something is happening, nothing is happening. Right? It's when it sees action and inaction and... And we have faith. One who doesn't have faith, we can't see that. You think you're wasting your time. Do something practical. Get a job. Feed people. Do something practical. Okay, you can pray. Feed people. Do something, give them something. That doesn't mean we can't feed people and give them something. But minus Krishna consciousness or awareness of reviving Krishna consciousness, that dormant connection with Krishna, it's cosmetic. A little wind or a little water and the cosmetic, gone. A little time, it's gone. And then you put more cosmetic. It's just cosmetic. Yes. Volume up. Krishna says,
something of someone, I dislike something of the same person. so much inbuilt that sometimes it's sadhana too much. One phrase that supports this is that I say this Ankulasya Sankalpam Pratikulasya Vajjitam. But is this also a form of enmity?
Yes.
Then how do I get rid of it?
Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's an easy answer. How do you get Krishna consciousness? So they follow the process of Krishna consciousness. But there's no substitute. In other words, you clear away the covering, what's left? Krishna cheto darpanam, etc. Bhavamaha vidya vado jivanam. It unfolds by the progressive stages of hearing and chanting and devotion to Krishna that awakens from hearing and chanting. The coverings become removed and the real seed of spiritual life awakens. It's material consciousness. That, you know, the principle, just go back to the question, the principle is it material consciousness? Yes. It's not foreign to you. You're just honestly acknowledging it, and every one of us, honestly or not, are influenced in the same way. Anyway, misery loves company, right? So we're in the same boat. We have the same conditioning. There's different degrees in different ways, but same in principle. So what's the cure? Cleansing. Letting go of at least some of those attachments, and progressively a little more. So you let go, and you stay let go, and that enables you to take deeper shelter of Krishna. You take deeper shelter of Krishna, it gives you the strength to let go. One helps the other. And you maintain that steadiness. And then you go for the next one. And maintain that steadiness and go for it. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's phrase I like a lot. Progress is a series of steps in the right direction. A series of small steps in the right direction. That's progress. So that's what to do. Head in the right direction. Refine your sense of what the right direction is as you're heading in the right direction. Because most likely, the initial idea of what we understood the goal to be and the direction we need to move in wasn't 100% on. It was mixed. Just because we're conditioned souls, it's mixed. So refine it. And that's the sound vibration will help you refine it. Because the sound vibration is pure. Our consciousness is not. But the sound vibration is pure, and the pure sound vibration can purify consciousness and inspire one further, let me take the next sustainable step. And then do that for a while and celebrate. Yay! Now what's next? And we stay in good association and we continue the hearing, sincerely wishing to know more clearly what the goal is and be inspired to reach that goal and take a step to reach the goal and just keep doing it. So, abhyasa. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamino. Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion, introduction. Devotional service is a sort of cultivation. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. That's what it is. Read, if you like studying, read Jiva Goswami's commentary on that verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because that verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the essence of bhakti. That verse. And he breaks it down. And it's really beautiful. It's exquisite. He gets into there's Swarup Lakshana and Tathastha Lakshana. The Swarup Lakshana, the primary characteristic of bhakti is wanting to please Krishna. Friends and enemy doesn't please Krishna. But we're not there yet because we're not pleasing Krishna conscious yet. So cultivate that consciousness. Anyway, you read it. It's really beautiful. It's a whole other... It's just saying the same thing in different language. Do you want to say something further? Louder. You can't just snap your fingers. You have to cultivate it. Is that an unsatisfactory answer? It's honest. Well, it's hard to not practice. Take your pain. Struggle with material energy. This question comes up in Prahlad's teaching to his classmates. You've described this like, realistic, not attractive picture of material consciousness. So supposing I go with your plan, don't I also have to struggle? Of course. But struggle on your own, or your effort plus Krishna's help. And what's the goal? Where does this path take one? Where does that path take one? I want the path that takes me to Krishna, and I can't do it on my own. That's part of the life of cultivation of Krishna bhakti. I'm not on my own. I require mercy. We're proud and we want to do stuff on our own. We're in this kartaham iti manyate consciousness and we ought to do things on our own. We have to learn that that's not how to do things. We have to, we're children in an adult body. We have to learn all over again. It's hard teaching old dog new tricks. It's easiest when there's little children, but then little children are taught by their parents who are like the old dogs. It's gradual. Yes, it's work. It's brahminical, I call it brahminical work. That's good. Makes you clean. When you're clean, you feel good. If you're not clean, you don't feel good. Become clean. It's work. It's good work. Then you can see clearer. And you can be a better person, and you can help people in a way that's deep and meaningful with clarity and instead of cosmetic. And then you feel good because you did something cosmetic. I helped somebody. I feel this mode of goodness, happiness. I want to do more of that. But they're still in bondage. The code of the drowning man is on the shore. Now what about the drowning man? So it just keeps going and going. Yes, there's effort. It's not easy. But compared to material life, it's easy because you have Krishna's help. Yes.
Yeah.
So how do we understand that? It's easy. It's not just the behavior. It's the consciousness. Practice doesn't just mean the behavior. The cult of Krishna consciousness is a sort of cultivation. It's not a behavior. There's behavior, but it's not just behavior. Bhakti is not a vending machine. Bhakti is from the heart. So we have to connect, we have to align, this word was used before, align the heart along with what our senses are doing and our mind is doing. You know, that mind is a rascal. Mind's a monkey. And the heart, we don't even know where it is. We're too busy being successful. So bhakti is more than a behavior. I mean, something that I've said 30 years ago. We're not the International Society for Behavior Modification Incorporated. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So cultivation of Krishna consciousness is far more. They're behaviors. We take bath. We do things. We ring a bell and wave some incense. We do things. But that's not bhakti. It's consciousness. That's the essence. Pleasing Krishna is the essence. Read that same section. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. Someone else. Yes. Go to. Yeah. I don't agree. Faithfully carrying out the process under in good association. Sarusanga Bhajana Kriya. It'll take you to the next stage. Anarjana Vritti. Now you're finding, you know, yes or no? The answer is yes. Are you finding there are impurities in your heart that you didn't even know they were there before? Yes. That's progress. Before you didn't know. And they were running your life. Now you know and they're running your life. But now you have the means to know and you have the means to purify those things that now you know what they are. Keep going. Just like, you know, this question over here. You're just, is it stereo of the same question? Yeah. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Vishnu Smaranam doesn't mean reciting slokas. Smarana means something that's inside. We have a relationship with Krishna, and our relationship with Krishna is forgotten. Not only relationship, all knowledge is already there. It's just forgotten. And this knowledge, Shravanam Kirtanam, brings a remembrance of that which we have forgotten. Everything. Everything. Why is it not happening, you know, why is it not happening faster? You know, we're used to like instant everything. Some things, how long we've been at this building our little God project in this material world? Who can say how many lifetimes? It doesn't end just by the snap of the fingers. Same as work. I see you're progressing. You may not feel you're progressing much at all. I see you're progressing. So look inside and see where are some of the attractions for Krishna that are really enliven me. And you do a lot of that. And then there's some ones where it's less enlivening. You take some enlivenment energy over there. You know, as the light gets brighter, the darkness is dispelled. And then there's some darkness, some anchors that you need to pull. You pick one that you can sustainably pull and not put it back in again. Just keep at it. We're conditioned. It takes a while to become not conditioned. Yes?
And I have a complimentary question. So if I'm able to do my sadhana properly, sometimes I will be the victim of guilty feeling. So how to...
Welcome to the club. Just turn your... Take that thought or that emotion and place it before Krishna. Everything, offer it to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, this is my... He knows. My dear Lord Krishna, this is my situation. I'm very weak. I'm dependent upon you. Kindly pick me up. Kindly accept me. You probably heard this in our japa retreats. Prabhupada saying, that's when we're chanting. Chanting is, Krishna, please accept me, that's all. So don't hang out in the mode of ignorance, of lamentation. Go to the light. You need to have a lot of things. I have a request. Can each time you ask a question, drop the preamble? I don't know where that kind of culture in ISKCON started, and it's like, I refrain from making the remark I just made, but it's... And I will thank you if you drop that, you know, thank you thing at the beginning. Thank you for the nice class. And, you know... Go ahead.
So Maharaj, I have a question on the lineage of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
So we see it's little puzzling that, you know, Hiranyakashipu was little able, was very evilish, and then Prahlad Maharaj was very saintly. His son Virochana was again little evil, and his son Bali Maharaj was a great devotee, and Bali Maharaj's son Banasur again became very evil. So how this, you know, like an alternating cycle of...
Well, I don't think it's like necessarily, as you're putting it, an alternating cycle. You know, Prahlad became Prahlad by the Lord's arrangement. Narada knew. Anyway, so it's the Lord's arrangement. Because Bali... He's one of our 12 Mahajans. Prahlad is one of the 12 Mahajans. There's two of the 12. It's just the Lord's arrangement. Those two in particular. And it's not surprising, just like it happens in devotee families. Sometimes devotee children don't become devotees. Although the parents are good parents, they've done a good job of parenting. And sometimes their children become fantastic devotees. They surpass their parents. They carry their parents. So there's not like a alternating cycle kind of a thing. Particularly with Bali and with Prahlad, is the Lord's arrangement. Yeah. Yes.
Do we have the intelligence when we are initially with Krishna before we come to the material world?
Oh, don't put it in if your question goes in the frame of time, I'm going to hit the buzzer. Mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the question is misleading. Once upon a time, da-da-da-da-da-da. Then some time passed, and then da-da-da-da-da-da. It's not like that. It's not an event within time. It's an event. But if you place it within time, the question itself is misleading. What's a timeless event? Oh gosh. But it's an event. Living entity has misused his free will. No good reason. It's really dumb. You won't find a good reason. Other than within the living entity, there's free will. And it's not there's another cause. Because you say that there's the cause, aha. It's free will, period. That's my understanding. Free will means free will, and it's of the soul. There isn't another cause other than the living entity's misuse of free will or proper use of free will. And Krishna responds. Now, why would they, it's the same question. Why? It's so nice. Why misuse your free will? It's really dumb. Yes, it's really dumb. It's a puzzle, isn't it? So read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text. Forget the text number, 16 or something like that. Prabhupada is explaining the word anadi. Adi and anadi, beginningless. And so he touches on this topic that you're asking, and he said we won't be able to understand it in our present situation. Better to understand how to get out, and once you've gotten out, you'll be able to understand it. But some people keep asking anyways, because they like speculative knowledge. It's quite unreasonable. Agreed. There's no good reason. It's really dumb. But it's an event. This use of free will is an event. Because we have the potential. Okay. So I had two things. Maybe three things. I brought some prasadam again. That's one thing. So when I'm done, I'll give out some prasadam. Another thing is I have a morning flight. I'm going to Canada tomorrow morning, so I'm going to have to do the 23 skidoo after I finish here and get ready for tomorrow morning departure. And I think it was last time I visited here, I brought... I brought with me some recordings or flash drives that had visits to Ayodhya and Dwarka. Maybe some of you remember. I have some of them again. But I just completed this Kartik visit to Puri, my fourth time conducting a yatra, so we did it completely differently. I have those flash drives. I can give you one or provide you one, or you can make some arrangement to get one later. It has high density image video. There's photos of the deities that we visited when you're not supposed to take photos of the deities. I can tell you how it was done. The devotee took a lot of pictures, and the pujari saw him taking the pictures. They said, let me see your phone. So he gave him phone number 2. And they looked, and they didn't see any pictures. And he kept phone number 1 and had the pictures. So there's images of Shakshi Gopal and deities you're not supposed to take, the Sringadev, you're not supposed to take pictures, and so forth. Visits to the temple, you see the entrance, you enter into the temple. So there's audio recordings, you can stick the thing in your car and listen as you're going to work. So there's audio, video, a lot of time and energy went into putting that thing together. So I can make them available. There's some production cost and the flash drive cost and a donation requested to cover that and just to help me with some important service I'm doing for ISKCON. So if you're interested, let me know. Or you can see Satish, and if you don't have anything, that's fine. You can take one anyway and do something later. You can give nothing and still have one. But, you know, the suggested donation is $50. It costs about $20 for production and the flash drive itself. So if you're interested, let me know. Or let him know, and he'll take care of you. I have some in my bag and can hand you if you want. After I do the cookies. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.